The Václav Havel Library in Prague follows the US presidential library model in gathering and archiving materials relating to the late Czech dissident turned head of state. In the US, Havel's legacy is promoted by sister organization, the Václav Havel Library Foundation, which is based at the Bohemian National Hall in New York. The latter is headed by Pavla Niklova, a former director of the city's Czech Center. When we met, Niklova explained the relationship between the foundation and the library itself.
The relationship is very close. People from the library are on our board and vice versa. We share our archival material. We promote their archive on our website, and we are trying to add some things from America. Of course, Havel Library is the main institution that covers Václav Havel. They have incredible archive. They keep all the materials. They prepare incredible number of high quality live events. I read somewhere that they are the number one non-profit in the Czech Republic in terms of influence that they have, definitely in the sphere of human rights and other areas. And so we are their little brother, little sister, and trying to work on some things together and trying to promote Havel's legacy here in North America.
When you speak about the archive, what kind of materials are you gathering here in the States related to Václav Havel?
It's more of a sharing materials online. So we have established partnerships with several presidential libraries and universities and media, and we share their information about Václav Havel on our website. So the idea is basically that if people try to look for information on Havel, they may get, well, of course, either to the website of Havel Library directly, or if they get to our website, they can read some extra articles about Havel, and then there's a link for Prague Archive.
And I guess you guys have more stuff in English?
Yes, we have only stuff in English.
And are you, like, gathering all newspaper interviews, that kind of stuff, or books? What exactly is it?
Everything is only online. We don't have a physical archive here. I mean, we do have, like, one little bookshelf that is dedicated to Václav Havel, but our aim is not to really build up a substantial physical archive here.
And do you have any interesting ongoing projects?
There are a few of them. Maybe I would start with the theater. One of them is a fellowship for theater students from Prague Theater Academy, from DAMU. The project works the way that every year DAMU announces a contest for students to write a mini drama based of one of Havel's plays or themes or quotes. And then their jury selects one student who then comes to New York. Of course, the other big theater project is the festival Rehearsal for Truth. It's a showcase of Central European theater, but it's also possible that next year we will enlarge it and that the focus doesn't have to be only Central European. I would like to collaborate with the French because they have another festival at the same time, so I hope for some more work there. And another annual project is our award for a courageous writer at risk called Disturbing the Peace. Another big project that we launched is called Havel Conversations. And these are interviews with important Americans in fields of politics, culture, academia. Initial 10 interviews, we got a very nice grant from Carnegie Corporation, and we prepared interviews with Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton, Henry Kissinger, Susan Vega, six more people.
And were these live interviews on stage that people could attend, or were they more private?
Those first 10 interviews were private, but the purpose of them is to be used. They should be used by students, politicians, human rights activists. They are housed at Florida International University, and this summer they became a part of Digital Public America library platform, which is very important for us. We are very proud of it because basically it means that these interviews became part of American cultural heritage. But we also have started some Havel Conversations Live, and the first two that we did were with Gail Papp and Carol Rocamora, and the second one was with Wendy Lures.
Generally speaking, what's your sense of how Havel is perceived today in America?
I think he's very much admired. I've been told many times that, for example, in the United Nations, he's been quoted together with Gandhi and Mandela as like the three human rights heroes of the 20th century. Of course, so many things are happening around the world. You know, what happened yesterday is already old news. So that's our task and responsibility to remind people of his ideas and to promote them because they are very much valid.
I was reading something written by the head of the Václav Havel Library in Prague, Michal Žantovský, and he was saying that in the last few years they have been experiencing something new, which is that the young people that the Havel Library in Prague is seeking to engage with don't really know who Havel was, and they don't even know what communism was. These are young Czechs.
Yeah, that's frightening. Of course, the United States is a huge country, but 2 years ago for Havel at 80, we prepared one fellowship called Fellowship for Human Rights for students, and we advertised it through a special network at many American universities. Again, the task was to write an essay based on the power of the powerless and basically to write what is valid for today's world. And we received something like 50, 60 essays from different universities, really from all parts of the United States. So I think that in one way, of course, the United States, there are so many people, it's a huge country. Many people don't know that the Czech Republic exists or Václav Havel lived. Maybe they know Jager or Martina Navrátilová. But on the other hand, I would say that there is a solid number of students who are definitely interested in his writings and feel it's very important for their studies and for understanding what was going on in the 20th century in the eastern part of Europe.
Do you think his story is relatively easy to comprehend for American students? Because he was a playwright who became a politician, he didn't really have any scandals, he didn't do anything really wrong, I guess, from many people's perspective.
I think they are still excited to find out that something like that is possible. I think he is a hero and like a model that people admire.
Did you know Havel?
I knew him. I met him a few times, but I can't say we were friends. First, I met him when I worked at the Soros Center in Prague, and he asked us to prepare exhibition for the hospital in Střešovice, where he was hospitalized, and he said there was nothing on the walls. So we prepared exhibition of contemporary artists in there, so that was the first time I met him. And last time, he was sitting behind me at the Arca Theater when his last play, Leaving, was on. And he was laughing and he was kicking me, you know, on my back because he was right behind me. So it was the last time. And he wanted to come when I was here at the Czech Center. And we were showing Citizen Havel, the documentary. And he was supposed to come. Unfortunately, the morning they called me and they said that Michael Douglas was throwing a party and so that Havel was going there. So I tried to suggest them, so bring Michael Douglas and come. And they told me, okay, but that dinner is for 50 people or 150 people or something. So it didn't happen. So I was sorry and he was sorry because he didn't see the Bohemian National Hall. He was here when it was still under reconstruction, and I know he was looking forward to seeing it, what it looked like when it was reopened, and that unfortunately didn't happen.
When you were around him, what impression did he make on you at the personal level?
Very nice, and something that in Czech I say normal. He just behaved in a normal way. I didn't feel any pretentious. He wasn't snobbish. He enjoyed talking to people. He was ready to react quickly to changing situations. So it was a pure pleasure to be around him.
Also, I guess he was a great admirer of America. Would you say that's a fair comment?
Yes, I think so. I think he, in a way, idealized it a little bit, but he came here for the first time in spring of 1968 when his play, The Memorandum, had a premiere at the Public Theater. Of course, it was a revolutionary time, and he spent around a month here. And he met with many writers and intellectuals and people like George Voskovec, who lived here, so Czech people who lived here. And I think it was very important for the following years when then he could not travel, but he managed during that time already established some friendships that helped him to get through those 20 years.